Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
There were a few lessons I learned when I was off sick, and one of them was life moves on, and it moves on very quickly. So learned Pascal Donoghue this week. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Welcome to the Let Me Explain podcast, and don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff and share it on whatever platforms it is that you are listening on. And this week, this Tuesday, very specifically, all of a sudden, all out of nowhere, the end of an era in Irish politics.
I will soon be taking up the role of Managing Director and Chief Knowledge Officer of the World Bank Group based in Washington, D.C. I am therefore departing from public life in Ireland. I have informed my party leader, an Taoiseach, Simon Harris TD, of my intention to resign as Minister for Finance, effective from today, and I will also tender my resignation to Dáil Éireann later this week.
Yes, Pascal Donoghue, Finance Minister, overseer of 10 budgets, a decade worth of budgets, which is no small thing in the history of the state. He is leaving politics, exiting stage left from Irish public life to take up a very fancy job. Chief Knowledge Officer and Managing Director at the World Bank with a remuneration package said to be worth around 600,000 euro, base pay around 450,000. Not bad if you can get it, albeit having to relocate to Washington, D.C. Some would see that as not such a bad thing, maybe a perk of the job. And what amazed me and what I was getting out of the introduction there is just how quickly everything moved on. You know, it was about 9:30. The first inkling started to emerge publicly. By 10 o'clock, we all knew that Pascal Donoghue was leaving and was informing cabinet of his decision. And by 2 o'clock, there was a new finance minister, and that finance minister was Simon Harris. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, just to look back, do maybe a bit of a retrospective on Pascal Donoghue. Entered the Senate, a Shannon member from 2007, came in on the Fine Gael tide then of 2011 in Dublin Central to become a TD for the first time. First became a senior minister in 2014, Minister for Tourism. I still remember going to gigs when he had far fewer grey hairs and was talking about drones and other transport matters. Transport, tourism, sport, I think, was the brief at the time. And then really came into his own when he was made public expenditure minister on the formation of the 2016 government, replacing Brendan Howland to be there. And I suppose learning at the feet of Michael Noonan, who really had the heavy lifting in the bad old days of the crash from 2011 to 2016. Those are the days in Fine Gael of keep the recovery going, you'll remember, where there was, as Bertie might have said, a lot done, a lot more to do. And a weakened Fine Gael came into minority government. And he's been a fixture at the cabinet table and in financial ministries ever since. You could make an argument that nobody has had a greater controlling hand over Ireland's finances over that time than Pascal Donoghue, and that he put the country where it was for good and bad. And the good first, I suppose, the good would be, and many tributes are paid to him in the Dáil. One, he was just a gent of a guy. You know, to hear Labour's Jed Nash getting up and saying he's going to miss him as a friend, first and foremost, whatever, you know, a party that would have very different financial views of the world to Fine Gael, but they would miss each other across the floor of the Dáil. And everyone had to say on a personal level, congratulations and fare thee well. And if you're looking at the positives, I mean, he himself would say that he presided over budgets that brought the country from deficit to surplus twice, presided over COVID, presided over Brexit, got the country through both of those and into a position where overall the public finances are in very good shape, where you've got backup funds worth about 24 billion euro in various different investment pots that could be used and sprung to secure Ireland's future and secured an investment path for Ireland to have that sort of backup if there is another crash, whenever there is another crash sometime in the future, and was sort of a steady hand. I mean, I always thought of Pascal Donoghue as the adult in the room, especially in this government, when the likes of, say, Leo Varadkar, Simon Coveney and some of the other senior ministers, Heather Humphreys included, had moved on into other gigs or into retirement. Pascal Donoghue was still there as that sort of constant and that link to 2011. And now Simon Harris finds himself in the situation where he is the most experienced cabinet minister that isn't Micheál Martin at the age of 39, which probably says a lot about this cabinet. And again, I'll get into that in a little bit of time. So you never felt unsafe, I think, with Pascal Donoghue's steady hand on the tiller. I don't recall ever seeing him flustered. Maybe once or twice at these budget day press conferences that come at 7 o'clock in the evening after a very, very long day, he'd be a little bit short or a little bit more tetchy, but never flustered, never angry. No matter what sort of question you threw at him, he was just steady Eddie throughout it. And there was a certain reassuring nature to that. Not that it was all roses being thrown, particularly in the Dáil. I mean, if you look, Sinn Féin, Mary Lou McDonald straight away talking about things like the Oireachtas bike shed and various big overspends that were overseen by Pascal Donoghue at various points. The entrance, in fact, to the Department of Finance, at which there was a very large expenditure on. And of course, the budget that has just gone, which is probably the most difficult of the budgets that he has presided over, at least in the last 4 or 5 years. The COVID budgets were big giveaways, albeit during difficult times, so people might not have felt that. And if you were to look at the negatives of his term, yes, big picture, big E economics, the country is very wealthy, there's a lot of money around, and yet more people than ever, I think, are struggling to get by, and more middle class families are struggling to get by. Fitting perhaps that the day that he stepped away, there was a report from St. Vincent de Paul saying calls to them are up 7% year on year, and that it is largely from middle class families who are struggling to make ends meet and are quite embarrassed to admit that and to say that actually coming into this Christmas we're in a little bit of difficulty. The least charitable towards Pascal Donoghue would certainly be People Before Profit. I was at a press event with them yesterday when Richard Boy Barrett, Ruth Coppinger and Paul Murphy, and they were asked, you know, your reaction to Pascal Donoghue, and they all kind of looked at each other and laughed. Ruth Coppinger said it's no surprise that he's after getting a job with a big international financial institution, because those are the people that he served rather than the Irish people. Paul Murphy talked about the budget that has just gone and the difficulty it put people under, and he picked that up in the Dáil later on as well.
Take the example of the last budget. This is centrism. This is what is packaged as what is just sensible, normal, not very ideological at all. In one of the richest countries in the world with a record budget surplus, this government, Pascal Donoghue, decided to make disabled people poorer. Not just poorer in real terms, poorer in nominal terms by well over 1,000 euros.
Probably the most entertaining response to Pascal Donoghue or reply to him in the Dáil was from Paul Gogarty of FU Deputy Stag fame, who is now an independent TD on the opposition benches. And knowing that Pascal Donoghue is a Bows fan and is a sports fan among his many other interests, he had this to say.
I may not have agreed with his team style of play, but there's no doubt as part of the collective, former Minister O'Donoghue has been an outstanding leader in finance, especially during the tough times. I would say the veritable Seamus Coleman of his team. But I think in terms of this team, you were looking, saying, we're not going to make the playoffs. And so you took a different job, because unfortunately we've no Troy Parrott and we've no Katie McCabe in our team who are going to take us to the next level moving forward. I said at the start of this government a year ago that it was a kind of a Chapel Rowan moment. Good luck, babes, because in 5 years' time I was going to say, I hate to say it, but I told you so. We're 1 year through that now. And so what I would say is, if there is not going to be another Fine Gael Taoiseach for a long time to come after Simon Harris, I think the government should grab the bull by the horns and say, we are going to go out, but let's go out with a bang. Let's be like the spirit of the Ireland team on Sunday, where we said we're just going to have to put three up front and try and make a real difference. You have the opportunity to get rid of the civil service inertia, to make real progress on housing, to make us energy self-sufficient, to improve our transport system. But as of now, all the pundits are saying you don't have a hope in hell. So what I would say, if I were in your shoes now, Jorge Aguilera, I would just say, go for it. You 4 years. You may not be in government for another 10 years after that. So make the tough decisions and don't be afraid of losing your seats, because maybe you'll have to lose them to make what's required.
And then you have others like Barra Rountree, the economist, saying that Pascal Donoghue has presided over spending increases that would make Charlie McCreevy blush. So you've kind of got both sides of it. On one hand, the opposition saying he didn't do enough spending, particularly in the budget just gone. On the other hand, the economists saying that that the opposite was the case, that he's been a little bit flahoolock with the money. I suppose really we're only going to know the fallout and the official verdict on Pascal Omics, Donoghue Omics, I'll have to workshop that, something along those lines, Pascal Omics, in a few years' time, when we see what way things turn out post tariffs, etc., because the economy is in a weird place at the moment. I wouldn't say anyone's overly confident in it. I wouldn't say anyone is feeling fantastically great about themselves. And yet, notionally, there is a lot of money out there. So, of course, within a couple of hours of Pascal Donoghue sailing off into the sunset, there was a new finance minister. That new finance minister, I thought somewhat surprisingly, other people less so, that it's Simon Harris. It's Taoiseach Simon Harris, Fine Gael leader, who has taken up that mantle himself. Helen McEntee is the new Minister for Foreign Affairs. Hildegard Nocton into Education. Eimear Higgins is promoted to Super Junior Minister. That's a junior minister that attends Cabinet, responsible for disabilities. And then Frankie Feehan, the Roscommon TD, Sligo Leitrim, he actually represents, he's from Roscommon in Boyle. He's been promoted as the most senior of the backbenchers, if you like, to be a junior minister for procurement. So in the Department of Public Expenditure under Jack Chambers. So a lot of promotions there, and the Fine Gael side, the official narrative, if you like, is they're leaning on experience. And Simon Harris is the most experienced cabinet minister that's not the Taoiseach, as I mentioned. He goes in as the sort of the senior figure into the Department of Finance, that you need someone with a bit of experience and a bit of gravitas. And as Taoiseach and party leader, he does that. Helen McEntee, as deputy leader, gets to return to the Department of Foreign Affairs as the first female minister for foreign affairs and the first female defence minister. Kind of surprising that, as it hasn't happened before, but there you go. That's what it is. She obviously had a spell there as European affairs minister, kind of where she made her name. She was very much seen as an up and coming star within that department during Brexit. And then her star has fallen a bit after a patchy spell in justice and probably wasn't really in education long enough to make a very significant impact there. So the jury's out on that. Now she's going to be foreign affairs minister, and leaning on experience. Frankie Feehan, most experienced at those backbenchers. Eimear Higgins, probably the least experienced, but up and coming. Hildegard Nocton, someone who could have been in line for cabinet promotion this time last year, but was ultimately overlooked because of a lack of space. I thought the most likely candidate when I first heard the news actually would be Peter Burke, simply because he's an accountant and he's probably the only one of those cabinet ministers from Fine Gael who actually has financial qualifications. You could argue Patrick O'Donovan, who has a master's in chemistry, I think. So maths, not exactly outside of his purview, albeit a different kind of maths. Although, you know, maybe he probably could have fit the bill. I was going to say that the budget is as much art as it is science, but he has a science degree and he is Minister for the Arts. So you could make a very credible argument that he could have been there for promotion. The thing about it being both Patrick O'Donovan and Peter Burke, despite having been junior ministers for a long time, they're not massively well known, I think, to the public at large. And if it was them plus Jack Chambers, that suddenly looks like a very junior duo in the Department of Finance and Public Expenditure. Certainly a lot less reassuring than, for example, Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath were during their time as the Chuckle Brothers in that department. And so that probably weighed into the thinking about Simon Harris entering the Department of Finance. But of course, and this was pointed out today by numerous texters into News Talk, he hasn't a whit of financial experience. He doesn't have a college degree. Famously, he started a degree in journalism, never finished it. Hasn't really had any sort of a experience of economics at any sort of a theoretical level. He was a junior minister in that department, in the Department of Finance, when he was first appointed to a junior minister. So he does have some experience there. But he doesn't bring the
And I don't mean this in an offensive way. I mean it more as praise for Pascal Donoghue, the intellectual heft that Pascal Donoghue brought. You could always rely on him being probably the smartest man in the room when it came to pretty much anything. Incredibly well read across a variety of subjects, but also knew his economics inside and out. There's also the question of, does Simon Harris have a bit too much power here now? Because there is very rare, I think this might be the only time, in fact, that you have seen a party leader who was also the Minister for Finance. And quite often we have seen cases, if you look at Leo Varadkar, for example, he wanted to implement a third rate of income tax, a middle rate at 30%, and was rebuffed by Pascal Donoghue, as this is an idea the party leader has, and actually the finances of it don't stack up and we're not going to do it. Were Simon Harris to get such an idea, actually, he is the finance minister, so he could push it much more. And maybe that goes into the thinking for Harris, in that he has now much more control over the domestic agenda and what gets done. And this puts him in Ireland a lot more than he would have been as Minister for Foreign Affairs. And that brings you to the other big theory around Leinster House as to why he's actually done this. And that is to keep an eye on his own back for knives that may be shoved into it by members of his cabinet, most namely Jennifer Carr McNeill, the health minister. It does just strike me, though, as you, and maybe you have to be paranoid as a party leader, but that would be a very paranoid move, in that there isn't a very real imminent threat to Simon Harris's leadership, despite the poor result in the presidential election. I think if Jennifer Carr McNeill were to announce today or tomorrow that she was going to run for the leadership and try to put a coup out, she wouldn't win it. She doesn't have that support in the parliamentary party, and there are still quite a few junior first-time TDs who owe a little something to Harris. How long that lasts, you can never tell. Politics is fickle. But at the moment, he's not under any imminent threat. So it would be a particularly paranoid thing to do if that was his sole reason for actually going after this. It does present a couple of interesting, you know, questions that could come for the coalition. One, cabinet suddenly looks very young, in particularly the Fine Gael side. And they're touting this as a good thing, that all of their ministers are under the age of 50. You could view that either way. Are they inexperienced or are they youthful? Again, down to perspective. And a lot of them have quite a bit of cabinet or junior ministerial experience, actually, when you look into it. And most, in fact, the majority of the cabinet, I think only a third of the cabinet are over 50. And the likes of Jim O'Callaghan and Micheál Martin significantly bring that age average up at 57 and 65, as far as I know. So there is a bit of experience lost. And even though Pascal Donoghue was only 51, feels weird saying he's an elder statesman. He kind of was. He'd been around the longest. People knew him. The country knew him. And he had that heft, as they say, that other people don't have. One of the other things that it throws up, if both leaders, Simon Harris and Micheál Martin, survive until the changeover of the office of Taoiseach at the end of 2027, and there is an open question over whether Micheál Martin will still be there at that stage, does the Fianna Fáil leader then swap into the Department of Finance, or do they take another brief? Because if it's either Micheál Martin or Jim O'Callaghan, I don't really imagine either of them having great desires on being finance minister. So that means you're once again changing things. Probably Jack Chambers becomes the finance minister, as was originally planned, and then you have to bump somebody else out of a brief in order to accommodate the Taoiseach that's becoming tarnished. So that reshuffle becomes a little bit more interesting as well. I think for Helen McEntee, this is probably a good move. It allows her back into the department that she performed best in, with some pretty big events coming up in terms of the presidency of the European Council that Ireland holds next year, and a lot going on the international stage. Hildegard Nocton gets a crack at a senior ministry, which she probably deserves, in fairness to her, having worked as a super junior and as chief whip for quite a while. So it's not all bad. In fact, none of it may be bad. It's just very interesting. It's something we haven't seen before. We haven't seen this concentration of power among the office of the tarnished in the past. So how that plays out is going to be very interesting to watch over the next little while politically. And it does change the power dynamics. Now, instead of, say, the tarnished and the finance minister from Fine Gael meeting with the public expenditure minister and the Taoiseach from Fianna Fáil, you've got a meeting of three. And it's just a different dynamic. And maybe that acts as a check on the power of Harris, in that it all has to go through Fianna Fáil anyway. But it's just a bit different. It's changing the faces, changing the dynamics, making things a bit less certain. And for a government that feels under pressure, a year after winning a relatively big mandate, you know, not sure it's the best timing. Not the timing I think they necessarily would have chosen in Fine Gael. So one to watch, and we will, of course, be keeping a very close eye on that on this podcast and on News Talk as things go. And it means two by-elections to come, not only Galway West, where Catherine Connolly is now the president, but Dublin Central as well. You'd imagine hard for the government to win either of those. Ray McAdam, the Lord Mayor, the likely Fine Gael candidate, but it is now very much Mary Lou McDonald's constituency. She is the big beast. Janice Boylan ran with her last time out, couldn't get over the line, even though Marilyn McDonald had nearly two quotas by herself. So interesting. It's just interesting. And yeah, we'll have to wait and see how this all plays out. Anyway, thanks for listening to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, like, share, all that good stuff on whatever platform it is you are listening on. And I will chat to you next week.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.